They won that one with a final score of 11-6. So great job there.
Is college even necessary to get into the NBA at this point?
Got to focus on the game. This is not an easy win.
He's the most hyped up prospect since LeBron James.
This is the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome to this week's episode of ASN's Inside the Playbook. I'm your host, Zion Palmieri. Stay tuned. We've got a great episode coming up. Let's jump straight into it.
Welcome here to this segment of ASN's Inside the Playbook. My name is Michael Hooker, and I'm joined here with
Liam Davis.
Okay, Liam, great segment here today, especially for the people watching this and listening to this at home. We have which sport has the best athletes. This has been a debate for lots of years.
Very many years.
So we're going to break it down for everybody listening at home. We had to tailor some of the numbers for specific sports, like the 40-yard dash for football. Basketball does full court sprint. Softball and baseball does 60-yard dash.
Track sprint does runs 100-yard,
like 100-meter sprint. So like, So we had to tailor it. These are the most accurate numbers that we could find for each sport. So, Liam, do you want to kick us off with football?
I would love to. So we're going to start it off with the 40-yard dash. The average 40-yard dash time is a 4.48-second 40-yard dash. The fastest ever was actually broken last year by a wide receiver named Xavier Worthy with a 4.22 40-yard dash. And then a 5.10.5 time, which this is, I think, the only sport that does a 5.10.5.
I believe so.
And the average is about 4 to 4.5 seconds, and the fastest was by Kevin Casper with a 3.73 second 5.10.5 time.
Yeah, that's absurd that a human can run 5 yards, 10 yards, 5 yards in under 4 seconds, almost 3.5 seconds.
Yeah, and you don't even see much soccer players do that, and that's what they're meant to be doing, is changing direction really fast.
Right.
And we're going to go to vert now. The average vertical is a 33.1-inch vertical, and the highest ever was a 46-inch vertical by Gerald Sensabaugh.
Yeah, 46 inches in the NFL. That's actually insane.
Yeah.
Like, you're reaching MJ levels of vertical jump at that point.
You're reaching LeBron levels. Let's not do the MJ stuff.
MJ had a higher vert. He did.
By like 2 inches.
Hey.
It's LeBron vertical.
No, MJ had a higher vert. It's higher vert. Actually, you know, I'm not going to say it because that'll spoil the rest of the segment.
Yeah, it's actually someone on here that has the highest.
Yeah, that's that level of the...
Well, actually, it could be broken because Cohen Carr from Michigan State.
Oh, my gosh.
He has like a 51.5-inch vertical.
Yeah, Cohen Carr's insane.
It's insane.
Dude, I take off. Like, he just... It's insane watching him run full court, and then he just takes off.
Yeah.
You're like, is he just flying at this point?
Yeah, it's crazy. But now we're going to go over to broad jump, and the average is 9.7 to 10.4. Which 9 feet 7 inches, 10 foot 4 inches. But the longest broad jump is by Byron Jones with a 12 foot 3 inches, which is crazy.
Unreal. Unreal.
The Pelton High School record is 10 foot 11 inches by Cade Brown. And he looks like he soars through the air.
Yeah, and it just put it in perspective, the highest vertical at Pelton Heights is also Cade Brown. Like a 41-inch vertical.
Yeah.
To put it in 5.10.5 time, I believe, is one of the soccer players had like a 4.09, like a 4.09 second. And then fastest 40-yard time, 40-yard dash time was Keaton Jones with like a 4.44, I think.
I think it was a 4.42.
Yeah, it was like either.
I was actually a part of that class.
Yeah, no, it's insane that Keaton is the average for 40. We have a soccer player that's the average for 5.10.5. And it's insane. Some of these athletes here at Pendleton. Mm-hmm. But switching over, basketball, they do full court sprint instead of 40-yard dash. So for them, their average full court sprint time is about 3.5 seconds, I'd say. Yeah. And then their fastest ever was Cookie Belcher with a 2.91.
Which, that is going way back in time. Yeah. I think he played in the 1970s, 1980s.
Cookie
range.
Belcher? No, he was more like 80s, 90s.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he played for Nebraska.
Oh.
He was a point guard. Short little guy. They don't run 5-10-5. They do like a shuttle run, which is lane to lane and back. Average is about 4.5 seconds for 5-10-5. We don't really have a full statistic on that. I couldn't find one. I don't think William could find one.
But they also do like a sprint, I don't know how many feet, and then shuffle, backwards run, shuffle.
Oh, yeah, that little like box thing for the lead. Yeah.
I don't know what that's called, but that's another thing that they do instead of the 5-10-5.
Yeah, and then vertical jump averages 28 inches lower than the NFL, but that is because there are 7'4" guys that barely jump off the ground. So, like, you can't really judge that. Highest vert, Keon Johnson. This is the guy we were not going to spoil. 48 inches.
That's crazy.
Almost 50 feet.
Or 50 feet?
I'm sorry. It's 50 inches. 50 inches. Broad jump, they don't do that. So I just guesstimated 10 to 11 feet, probably lower, if I'm going to be honest.
It probably could be, but going based off verticals and stuff, like a really tall dude probably doesn't have a long broad jump.
But a really short dude.
A short dude with a high vertical probably has a really long one.
Yeah. Next, Liam did all of these for baseball and softball because he plays baseball. So I'm going to let him speak on this.
Yeah, so like we said earlier, 60-yard dash instead of a 40-yard dash for baseball and softball. The average is 6.6 to 6.8 seconds. And the fastest ever was actually a sub-6 with Michael Gupton, which is a 5.9 second. And I actually did the math on this, and I made it into a 40-yard dash, and it translates to a 3.93 40-yard dash.
Dude, that's like, because Bo Jackson claimed to have run that. He claimed to have run a 4.1 sub-4 one time. Yeah. And I was like, there's no way. But Michael Gupton, like if you do the math, it can make sense.
There's a video of him running the 60-yard dash, and he makes the person next to him look slow, and the person next to him ran a 6.7 60-yard dash.
Which is still fast.
Which is still really fast.
Like, that's still really good.
And now we're going to go to exit velocity, which is how hard you hit it off the baseball bat. And the average is about 93 to 95. And the fastest exit velocity ever was broken last year by a Pittsburgh Pirate named O'Neal Cruz. He hit the ball 122.4 miles an hour. Which,
that's crazy that even in like the roids era of MLB with Barry Bonds, with all of those people, they couldn't hit it that hard.
And at this point, it's basically a safety hazard. And they're hitting it with wooden bats. There's been conversations about using metal bats.
Like, what kind of metal? They can't use aluminum.
It'd be, like, college bats in high school.
Dude, and you cannot. That'd make like, it
they,
worse.
They would do it for the home run derby.
Okay, that
every single swing would be a home run.
Yeah, but that'd be kind of fun, though. I know I saw this TikTok of, like, an 88, 89, that, I think that season. They had switched to aluminum bats. Like, they allowed it. And some of like the elite, like all time greatest home run hitters were like, oh yeah, you're going to see like four or five guys now that can just go yard whenever because they gave us aluminum bats. He's like, I might get 600 home runs this year.
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to go over to the pitching side, and the average fastball velocity for baseball is 94.2 miles an hour, and the fastest ever was by Aroldis Chapman with 105.8 miles an hour.
This is insane. How does a human throw 105 miles an hour?
I don't even know. But if you look on the interstate, cars are going like 70 to 75. And if you think those are going faster. If you think that's going fast, just watch Aroldis Chapman pitch. He's in his, I think, 10th or 11th year or something. And he's pushing 35. I think it might be more years. He's pushing like 35, 36, and he just hit 103 on the mound the other day.
That's nuts.
And now we're going to go over to the softball side. For exit velocity, it's 65 to 73 miles an hour, and the fastest ever was 92 miles an hour by Crystal Bustos, and I actually looked at it, and it was actually off a tee.
Okay, that doesn't pitch. That don't count.
But it kind of does because it's actually harder to hit it, the ball harder off a tee because it's not moving. But the fastest ever off a pitch is like 88.4 miles an hour.
That's still impressive.
Mm-hmm. And now for the pitch, for average fastball is 55 to 60. And the fastest ever was actually broken this year, 78.2 miles an hour by Carlin Pickens of Tennessee.
Yeah, I saw something about that. That's crazy. Because I think what a 78 mile an hour fastball in softball translates to what, like 98, 99 in baseball or something, like something crazy like that.
I think it'd be more than that. I think it translates to like 102 or 103.
Yeah, like because it's shorter distance. So like they don't, and they throw it different.
Mm-hmm.
Next, track and field. This again, we translated it. They don't run 5-10-5, so we're going to ignore that. But 40-yard dash, their average would be a 3.7, I guess. Guesstimating. They don't run it. But their 100-meter fastest ever, Usain Bolt. No surprise there. It's Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
9.58 seconds. World record. Yeah. And what more is there to say about him?
Nothing.
Yeah.
He's fast.
Yeah. High jump. Their average is 6'8". Their highest high jump ever was 8 feet and like 4 centimeters. It's 8 feet and .04 by Javier Sotomayor.
And if you think about it, 8 times 12 is 96. So that's about 96 feet 4 inches. Well, no, sorry, 96 inches off the ground.
That is nuts.
Which is insane.
That is nuts.
And if you think about it, basketball is getting 48 inches off the ground, but that's like their feet off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting like parallel to the ground.
Yeah.
So it kind of...
It's different just because like one of them is standing and yeah, just that, jumping that straight too. Up. The other one is running from an angle and laying out. So it's different. Next. Long jump. This is the last thing for track and field. The average for men is 24 feet. The average for women is 21 feet. So pretty close. But the longest ever by a man was Mike Powell, which was 29 feet and 4.25 inches. And then the longest for a woman was 24 feet, 8 inches by Galina Chistiakova.
Yeah, it's a weird name.
Russian. I'm pretty sure she's Russian.
Yeah, but almost jumping 30 feet is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy that the longest ever by a woman is the average for a man, but they're still both close.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just shows like track and field athletes are insane. Soccer. This was hard to find a 40-yard dash time because I don't think they run it. Their average is 4.7 to 5.3 because you have some slow players and you have some really fast players. The fastest ever recorded speed on a soccer pitch in a live game was by Kylian Mbappe. We have no official time, but he is considered to be the fastest.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so much stuff now that they can just track sprint speed, mm-hmm. but, like, they can't actually track, like, a 40-yard dash time.
Yeah. Once again, no 5-10-5. They're vertical on average. It says 11.8 inches to 19.7 inches. Granted, they're not jumping a lot.
Yeah.
But the highest ever was Cristiano Ronaldo, 42. Anyways, he jumped 42 inches in the air mid-game. It was a header.
Yeah.
That he did. And it was insane. Cristiano Ronaldo.
See.
That's just how he is. Broad jump. I don't really record it. We just took a guess. Once again, it was Ronaldo, 9 feet, 7 inches.
See.
Anyways, but that is going to do it. Liam, yeah, oh, wait, we have to give our answers. Liam, who do you think has the best athletes?
I'm going to be biased here. I'm going to say baseball. Not based off stats and like statistics and stuff, but I think baseball players can play other sports way better than like football players can play baseball or basketball players can play football or track and field can play soccer.
I'm going to go based off the numbers and say it's football. numbers wise.
If you go based off numbers, football, yes.
They clean sweep.
They're strongest, they're fastest, they're
not the fastest,
but like, they're more like agile.
They're more agile. But they can jump high, they can jump far. Like, come on. It's football statistically.
Yeah, but if you watch like baseball players hit a baseball, they make it look easy, but then you get like a football player, a basketball player, or soccer player, someone try to hit a baseball, it looks way harder. But there are some football players like Deion Sanders,
Bo Jackson, who were just nuts.
That were nuts at both and could play both.
I mean, Bo Jackson, like, wall run was insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll do it for me and Liam. We got more coming up in this episode, so stay tuned. But that'll do it for this segment of ASN's Inside the Playbook.
Greatest hits from the greatest decade every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 9 a.m. All your favorite hits and more from Nirvana, Light up on guns, bring your friends home. To the Spice Girls. We have it all. Only on 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to this segment of ASN's Inside the Playbook. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Lucas Williams.
And we're here to talk about this. This segment really has no name. It's like the midseason break of all the sports. For baseball, you got like, you know, All-Star Weekend is what they call it. They got the Home Run Derby. They got all their festivities. NHL. I think the most of them call it like All-Star Week. They all suck, basically. We're here. We're gonna make new ideas and tell league officials what they should do, because it's like a common debate in sports right now. Like, it sucks. Like, sometimes it is just so boring. They redid the NFL Pro Bowl for a while and it sucked. So what do you think about this, Lucas? Does it currently suck? Where are you at?
Yeah, you know, me and Zion, I know we're big, you know, businessmen. You know, mm-hmm. We really just run all the sports. You know, we're very official as we are. You know, some of those All-Star weekends, they just aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think basketball is the number one thing that comes to mind, because I watch it every year and I'm like, man, I don't know why I'm watching this.
Exactly.
And like, I don't know why I'd go to this.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. What are the basketball events? You got the dunk contest, Rising Stars game, All-Star game.
I
think that should be it.
Yeah, they've changed so much.
Three-point contest.
Yeah. Yeah, but like the three-point contest, that's one of those things where I feel like one of these sports should at least have a thing that should always stay. Three-point contest, I feel like, should never really change.
That's good. That's like, for the MLB, I think one of the strongest things in this whole thing is the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Like, I love it.
No one doesn't like the Home Run Derby. They want to see some guy hit the ball 450 feet.
Exactly. On some slow pitches too.
Exactly. Like, maybe they do a tournament of like who can hit the farthest shot, you know?
Yeah.
Or 3-point contest here to stay. Perfect.
Yeah. But that's the hard thing, is finding those very like, they're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just seen it so much, and specifically talking about the NBA, some of those just aren't good. And the Celebrity All-Star Game sounds like a very, very fun, unique idea, but like, I don't really care about Drewski.
Really?
Like, I was playing basketball. Like, I would rather us, you know, because the businessmen, we are us.
Yep.
Get like content creators,
mm-hmm.
like the really good content creators that you see all over social media. I mean, how many times have you just seen on social media, on, you know, ESPN, Sports Center, someone doing something crazy, and you're like, man, I'd love to see them.
Get Stephen A out there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think they just need, I think a game is too long. No one's got the attention span for a game anymore. It's 2025. So maybe get them in a 3-point contest. Maybe get them in a dunk contest or something.
Yeah, celebrity dunk contest would be insane. Or a 3-point contest.
They need a committee that picks better people, because you could put like Shannon Sharp out there. And they got to do it. So like Shaq obviously would be a good personality, but that's going to be a little cheap.
Yeah.
They could pick some. You had a good idea. Put like Flight out there. Some like NBA creators. That would be hilarious.
I would just love to see Flight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even just meeting Curry. But like just going out there and trying to hoop on an NBA. It's so bad.
Yeah.
He is. I love him. He's great. He's mm-hmm. great. Great guy.
So, Rising Stars game, no one cares. I mean, they're putting, there's like five cool people, but yeah. other than that, like, who's going to sit down and like, can't wait to watch the Rising Stars game?
Yeah,
right?
There's going to be a few people that are going to want to watch, but then after that, you're going to be like, who is this dude?
You got to watch 90% of NBA games if you're excited for the All-Star, or for the Rising Stars game.
Yeah, you gotta know the players. Mm-hmm. Like, these are just got drafted, and I can't even tell you how many drafts have gone by where you just look at the names and you're like,
who?
No yeah. idea who they played it for.
So All-Star game, we'll do for NBA. Do you like the NBA All-Star game? Obviously, it's good in theory, but I think, like, same thing with celebrities. Maybe just stick to the three-point contest or, like, 3v3 or something fun, you know? I don't know.
No.
No?
You I do keep not the All-Star like game? It. I do not oh, okay. like the All-Star game. Smart, that is a smart. Big thumbs down. And it's so stupid because it would be really good if the players just cared. They're not going to care. It's in the middle of the season. They're not really getting anything out of it. And if you get injured, once again, middle of the season, you could be gone for the rest. It's just like, but then if you move it somewhere, then they're not, you move it after finals, how are you really going to care then? It's just like the players don't care mm-hmm. about All-Star week. So like you have to have something in there for them. And that's the hard thing. Because I would love to, and I bet every single fan would love to see literally just the best players in the league play against each other. How could it go wrong?
I got the solution. You know what the NHL Four Nations was?
No.
NHL. Yeah, I know. It was a big thing at like their All-Star break where they took like Canada, Sweden, whatever.
As soon as you mentioned it, yeah.
And they had them play each other. What if instead, because like NBA players are from all over the country, what if instead you just like go to each team, all right, Pacers, give me three guys. Give me your three best players. So they send Halliburton, Miles Turner, and some other guy out there. And it's like 3v3s for like an in-season tournament kind of thing. You know what I mean? Ooh. For like 20-minute game, you know, first to 21 or something. They could do so many things. I think attention span is so important. It's like no one's going to sit down and watch the full game. We're yeah. not 90.
And it's a whole weekend.
I know.
Like this is a multiple-day event we're talking about for mm-hmm. the All-Star game. Or All-Star weekend.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about NBA. Let's switch to baseball, of course. For them, Home Run Derby, All-Star Game, that's about it. Home Run Derby's good.
Yeah, that's I can't really thing. Complain. I mean,
so you paid attention to the NFL's Pro Bowls recently?
Not really.
It's been like skills competition.
Yeah, it's
like,
been a lot more away from the traditional. Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen that, like the flag football and other.
I think baseball should be that because baseball's so like technical, like
yeah.
how good your fielding is. I think you should do that, like pitching, like you got to hit it through the ring or something. I think they should stick to that. Football, I don't know. I don't hate what football is doing because the old one sucked. Everyone didn't want to try in the All-Star game and yeah. it was just soft. I don't know. You know the quarterback competition where they got to hit the targets and yeah. stuff? That one's always good. Always yeah. love to see that one. The kicker, like tic-tac-toe, perfect. I don't care to see dodgeball.
Yeah, you know, that's, mm-hmm. yeah.
All right, well, I think the consensus is they need to change it, you know?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what.
Like, yeah, they got to figure it out.
I don't know. I don't really think the fans know, and I don't think the commissioners mm-hmm. know. I mean, but like, I just hope they keep on just trying things out. Keep on going, and that's how it's looking like.
Just keep changing until you got it right.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some things that I feel like just really need change, though. Mm-hmm. Like, Celebrity All-Star Game, I don't really care about. Like, some of those events, I just don't care much about.
Yeah, all right, well, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to ASN's Inside the Playbook.
Keep yourself informed about everything happening on campus and in the community by tuning in to 91.7 WEEM. From tonight's broadcast highlights to various school and community events, we've got you covered. Follow us on Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube to stay in the loop. Don't miss out. 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to today's Inside the Playbook segment. My name is Zion Palmieri. I'm joined here alongside
Michael Hooker.
Now, Michael, we're here to talk about the NBA playoffs. Of course, we're in round two right now. We've got a nice bracket heating up, if you would. So we'll start things off. Go. You can pick the teams. Of course, we're going to start talking about round one.
Okay. Well, I'm going hometown team first. Pacers Bucks 4-5 seed series. Pacers gentlemen sweep the Bucks 4-1. Leading scores for both teams: Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers, 17.6 points, 6.4 rebounds, 11.6 assists, and then Giannis for the Bucks, no surprise, 33 points, 15.4 rebounds, and 6.6 assists per game. That was probably one of my favorite series.
Yeah, it was a good one. There was a lot of like storylines. Of course, you had the whole thing with Halliburton's dad and Giannis at the end of the thing. It was really a chippy series. Giannis having a better statistical year than his MVP season, and he kind of can't get much help.
No, and well, people call the Pacers like the injury merchants because every time they play a team, they get hurt. No, it's just teams can't handle the Pacers' physicality because Rick Carlisle has them playing the right way, which is physical, fast-paced basketball. They spread the ball around, and it works. And, you know, we win games. You haters want to hate, and, you know, if they ain't us, they hate us. So,
yeah. What about when they play the Celtics in round three and they get swept 4-0 again?
Well, Celtics are down. Well, Celtics got to handle the Knicks first, and right now they ain't handling it. So, you know, at the time of recording this, I believe
Boston. 2-1.
Yeah, it's 2-1. Boston and New York play at like 10 o'clock.
They beat the Magic to start. I believe that one.
It was 4-1.
Yeah,
it was a gentleman's sweep as well. We did have a 7-game series, which was the other 4-5 matchup out west. Nuggets, Clippers. Nuggets pulled that one out. This was a really good series.
Jokic, I don't know how the Nuggets won that. I really thought the Clippers would have kind of superseded.
Well, Jokic averaged a triple-double with 24, 12, and 10. Like Kawhi, when he's healthy, he's one of the best players on the court. There's no doubt about that, seeing as he averaged 25, 8, and 5. So, I mean, you know, even though he's older, he's still putting up numbers.
Yeah, that's respectable. That was a series. There's a reason that series went 7 games, because Jokic, it's hard to stop that guy putting up a triple-double. He's been doing it for the past 2 years. Westbrook, I really didn't know with both of those teams. The Thunder, they could go pretty far. They could also get stopped first round because now they got Russell Westbrook. They were looking hot, and obviously they made it to the second round. And then the Clippers, they kind of had a little bit of a sleeper season going. Those two teams on my board, I had no clue what could happen. They could get knocked out first round. They could go right all the way.
Well, and the Clippers this year were such a weird team because they had the vets in Kawhi and James Harden that were solidified. You know, Kawhi's finals MVP, defensive player of the year, Harden's a league MVP, but they weren't even the leading scorers. It was Norman Powell with like 24 and Ivica Zubac. They had two role players that they turned into good players. Like that's how that series was. It was just weird.
Yeah. I wonder now for the Clippers, do they just sell the house?
I think you kind of have to scrap some of your players. Your old guy, like Harden and Kawhi, I think need to go. They're old. You can't rebuild with them. Mm-hmm. Zubac, you can. He's younger. He's experienced in the league. I think he's like 5 or 6 years into his career. You could still build around him. You can use Norman Powell as a good piece if you want to trade him away or build around him. So,
is that all of the Eastern Conference?
No, that was just the first two games. We still have like 4 or 5 more series.
Okay, go ahead.
Thunder Grizzlies 4-0 sweep. Thunder swept that one. And you want to know why? Scottie Pippen Jr. was the Grizzlies leading scorer with 18 points. So yeah, Thunder set like a playoff record for most like biggest score differential with like 50 some points against the Grizzlies. So it was just crappy series. Next.
Yeah, it's the one seed Thunder versus the team that barely got past the play-in. So right, what can you expect?
Yeah. Celtics Magic, we already talked about this a little bit. 4-1 Celtics win. Tatum, 31 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Not bad. Paolo Banchero, though, I'll tell you what, if they get the pieces around him, Magic could be scary. I mean, Paolo averaged 29, 8, and 4 with a pretty efficient shooting from 3. I think he was like 37% for a power forward. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, they've got the pieces over there. They can have a few good years and be real contenders. There's a few times I watch most of those games because I'm a Celtics fan. There's a few times I was like, wow, the Magic, you know, they're looking hot. They're on a nice run. They were able to shut down the Celtics. Of course, I mean, 3-point shooting recently for the Celtics hasn't been there, but they looked pretty nice in that series, and they were able to kind of stifle them for a while, so they could have a nice future going.
Yeah, next up, Knicks Pistons. Knicks are won that series 4-2. No surprise there. I mean, Pistons coming into it, 6th seed, young team, inexperienced, expected them to lose. You know, Brunson averaged 31, Cade Cunningham averaged 25. Both of them averaged 8 assists, though. They're both ball-moving point guards, and then Cunningham had 8 rebounds, but he's like 6'7 as a point guard, so like that's expected.
Yeah, how many games did that go? 6 or 7?
6.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. The Knicks, I mean, they're showing out against Boston right now. They're winning 2-1. They go 2-0 in Boston. And then that series versus the Pistons, a team that was like last, weren't they statistically last year?
They have the last year's team had the like NFL or NBA record for longest losing streak of 28 games.
They were a terrible team. They've really grinded their way back. And although they were knocked out first round, you got to put your hands together. Cade Cunningham, who was always just the number one guy for the Pistons, has slowly piecing a team around them. And they looked kind of pretty good that series. I mean, you can get the Knicks, a team that was, are they 2 or 3? I think there's 3 seed. If you can kind of stifle a team, take them to a game 6, I like where you're going. They got a nice coach.
Yeah. Next up, Cavs Heat 4-0 sweep. Embarrassing series for the Heat. They went out by like 40 points in game 4. Next, they shouldn't have been there.
I hate how the Heat always like just barely make the playoffs. Like, dude, you need a year where you get a, you know, top 5 worst seed in the league.
Yeah, they were a 10 seed that made the playoffs, by the way. Because of the plan. Yeah. Next up, Lakers T-Wolves. T-Wolves upset the Lakers in round 1, 4-1. Luka Doncic, playoff Luka, we expected this. 30 points and 7 rebounds and 6 assists. But Anthony Edwards, well-rounded, 27 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. That was actually a really fun series to watch.
3-1 or 4-1?
It was 4-1. It was a 5-game series, but you wouldn't have thought it.
I would have thought that one's going to game 7, game
right.
6.
Right, like
at
that's
least.
What I'm saying. Like you wouldn't have thought it was a 5-game series with how they played against each other. It's just Gobert had like 27 and 24 in their closeout game.
Timberwolves are scary. I mean last time they eliminated what was it, the Nuggets before last year in the Eastern
Conference
Finals?
It was like they were like a 2 seed and they took down the Nuggets, who was defending champs. They took down, I think, the Clippers in round 1, like, swept them. And then, or no, the Suns. Mm-hmm. And then they fell apart against the Mavericks. But, like, that's playoff Luka and Kyrie. Like, it's hard to match that.
That team, like, shocked me then. And they win the most random series. The Lakers, you think they got all together after that trade with Luka? Like, they've got some nice pieces there. It falls apart. That could have potentially been bronze last year. I don't think it'll be. I think I'll come back for more, but like, what a sad way to end your season. Hopefully the Lakers can start putting some things together if they want to win.
They need a center.
Yeah.
Because like, their only center on the roster was Jackson Hayes, and J.J. Redick didn't trust him enough to put him in the game, and Gobert went for 27 and 24. You have to at least have him in the game to put a body on Gobert, but whatever. Next, Rockets-Warriors, a 2-7 matchup. Game 7, Warriors win it. Alperen Şengün for the Rockets averaged 20, 12, and 5. Curry averaged 24, 6, and 6. The Warriors, with Jimmy, they've stepped it up.
They definitely have. I mean, that's a 7 seed knocking down a 2. There's a stat, we'll throw it on screen, about Golden State is like undefeated against the Rockets in the playoffs in the last like 20, 30 years or something. It'll be on the screen. You'll see it. It is pretty insane. I don't understand how that team produces in and out. Steph is insane in the playoffs. What's the thing? Like April Steph? Like,
yeah,
Steph is so
know.
Good.
I don't know. But in round 2, since there's only 4 series, because there's 8 teams, Cavs, Pacers, 3-1 series lead. I'm so happy about it. Set like a franchise record or NBA record for like tying most like score differential in a single half.
Yeah.
41.
That was a wild half. I saw that last night. Are they falling apart? What's happening over there in Cleveland? They can't hang. They can't hang.
The Pacers thing is the physicality and, like you mentioned, the high speed offense. Well,
and even then, like it's not just like the Pacers get out, like get lucky and get out on big leads. They can come back and win. Like, what I think there was like a thing I saw, like this graphic where it was like teams in the past like 40 years since the merger or whatever. Like in, when they were trailing in the playoffs by at least 20 points were 3 and 164. Mm-hmm. Two of those were the Pacers in rounds 1 and 2. And that's just this season.
What do you got as a Pacer fan? What do you got to say about the chance that say we want Boston? Did you hear that last night? I think it's funny because they're down 2-1, but I think Boston's going to win the series and then they got to play in Indy.
I think the Pacers could actually pull it off. Yeah. They're the team that everybody hates on, but it's because they're small market and the way they play, like they didn't have it figured out for the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I mean, it was tough. Boston's a very tough place to play, but their weakness is shown. If they can't make threes, you can beat them.
Yeah, especially with like the fast paced Pacers that we're seeing, especially physicality. It was a sweep last year, but all the games were like end of the game moment that like barely won it for the Celtics.
Right.
So it is going to be a dogfight if that matchup happens this year.
Right.
All right, one more and then we got to get out of here.
We will talk about what's another interesting trade. Thunder's Nuggets.
Okay.
That I watched the game yesterday on Mother's Day. That was a terrible game. The first quarter, it was 19-8 after first quarter.
The Thunder's so good. It's scary.
It wasn't even a good game. It was a terrible game.
Yeah.
It was just bad. But series is tied 2-2. You know, the other three series, the losing team has one game taken. Like, that'll be the closest series. I think that one goes 7 just because you have the two MVP finalists going at it. But yeah, I think Pacers will move on. I think the Celtics might come back and take the Knicks just because they'll figure it out. And I think the Timberwolves will take it over the Warriors. I believe the series is 2-1.
Who's your NBA champion prediction?
Whoever comes out of the East. It's either going to be the Pacers or the Celtics.
Yeah, I want to say the Celtics, but I think the Thunder might do it. I mean, I don't know. They're looking pretty terrible recently. I mean, they have
right.
a historical best regular season. And then, you know, Shea looking to win the MVP. They've kind of fallen apart a little bit.
Right. Like, I don't think any team from the West will be able to handle any team from the East. Because, like, you got to think, the one through, like, outside of the Cavs, like, the 2, 3, 4, 5, and I think, like, the 6, they were all so close. That's just how good the East was this year. They were all close. Nobody could really get a pull away, like, in record except the Cavs. But the Cavs are down 3-1 to the Pacers. Shows what good that did them.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this segment. Stay tuned for more. I'm Zion. He's Michael. You're listening to ASN's Inside the Playbook. That's going to about do it for this episode of ASN's Inside the Playbook. Whether you tuned in for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the whole episode, we really appreciate it. That's going to about do it for the whole spring session of Inside the Playbook. This year is over for Inside the Playbook, sadly, but we'll rejoin you about next fall, so stay tuned for then. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in to ASN's Inside the Playbook.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network's Inside the Playbook here on 917 WEEM.